भर्गु विचित्र जल पाए सम्पायेत् पाच्युत मित्र सूता अन्वाद्रवतां शीत
उग्रतन्वा
कपीध्वजो गुरुपुत्रं व्रतेना इति प्रियं भर्गु विचित्र जल्पाय सम्पायेत् पाच्युत मित्र
सूता
अन्वाद्रवतां शीत उग्र
तन्वा
कपीध्वजो गुरुपुत्रं रथेना आपतन्तं स विलक्ष्य दूरात् कुमारः विघ्नमनारथेन पराद्रवात् पुराणपि निष्पुवर्व्यां यावात्कमं रुद्रभयाज्यथाका अश्वत्थामा द मर्डरर् ऑफ द प्रिंसेस सीइंग फ्रॉम अ ग्रेट डिस्टेंस अर्जुन कमिंग एट हिम विथ ग्रेट स्पीड fled in his chariot, panic-stricken, just to save his life, as Brahma fled in fear from Lord Shiva. Purport by His Divine Grace, Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. According to the reading matter, either Ka or Araka, there are two references in the Puranas. Ka means Brahma, who once became allured by his daughter and began to follow her, which infuriated Shiva, who attacked Brahma with his trident. Brahmaji fled in fear of his life. As far as Araka is concerned, there is a reference in the Vamana Purana. There was a demon by the name Vidyumali who was gifted with a glowing golden airplane which traveled to the back of the sun and night disappeared because of the glowing effulgence of his plane. Thus, and night disappeared because of the glowing effulgence of this plane. Thus, the sun god became angry, and with his virulent rays, he melted the plane. This enraged Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva then attacked the sun god, who fled away, and at last fell down at Kashi, and the place became famous as Lolarka. Yadashramam Atmanam Aikshata Shrantavijinam Astram Brahmashiro Mene Atmatranam Viratmajaha. One of the son of the Brahmin, Ashwatthama, saw that his horses were tired. He considered that there was no alternative for protection outside of his using the ultimate weapon, the Brahmastra, nuclear weapon. Purport. In the ultimate issue only, when there is no alternative, the nuclear weapon called the Brahmastra is applied. The word Vijatmaja is significant here because Ashwatthama, although the son of Dronacharya, was not exactly a qualified Brahman. The most intelligent man is called a Brahman, and it is not a hereditary title. Ashwatthama was also formerly called Brahmabandhu, or a friend of a Brahman. being a friend of a Brahman does not mean that one is a Brahman by qualification. A friend or son of a Brahman, when fully qualified, can be called a Brahman and not otherwise. Since Ashwatthama's decision was immature, he is purposely called herein the son of a Brahman. Om Agyanti Midandasya Yananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Ashwatthama, the murderer of the princes, seeing from a great distance Arjuna coming at him with great speed, fled in his chariot, panic-stricken, just to save his life, as Brahma fled in fear from Shiva. When the son of the Brahman, Ashwatthama, saw that his horses were tired, he considered that there was no alternative for protection outside of his using the ultimate weapon, the Brahmastra. Yesterday, we were explaining the story which is to be found in Mahabharata of the killing of the five sons of Draupadi by the son of Dronacharya, Ashwatthama. Here we find Ashwatthama in great fear, fleeing for his life. Sometimes, out of envy or out of anger, people act in such a way instinctively, without really using their God-given intelligence to contemplate what may be the consequences in the future of their actions. Due to the uncontrolled mind and uncontrolled senses, becomes victim to lust, to anger, to envy, to pride, to greed. We become illusioned. And we act in abominable ways. The Bhagavad Gita explains that one must conquer the lower self with the higher self. The higher self is the intelligence. The intelligence which is the power to discriminate between right and wrong. Intelligence is the knowledge that we receive from God through His divine representatives and through His scriptures, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Whatever intelligence we have is coming through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. The power to discriminate is what discerns the human species from the animal species. The lower species act instinctively, impulsively. But human life is meant, prayas and shreyas, not to just act according to the immediate feelings of our mind and senses, but to carefully analyze and discriminate with our intelligence of what really is the best course of action. What will this action bear fruit in the future? Ashwatthama is here declared as a son of a Brahman? Why is he not just called a Brahman? Because a Brahman is a person who has this qualification, who acts according to scriptural injunctions. Krishna explains in Gita what are the qualifications of a Brahman. They are meant to be self-controlled. They are meant to have control of the mind and control of the senses. And they are meant to act according to proper direction. But Ashwatthama, he was acting neither as a Kshatriya or a Brahman. According to Kshatriya codes, you are only allowed to fight with a person who is equally prepared to fight as yourself. But Ashwatthama killed innocent human beings while they were sleeping without even giving them the chance to lift a weapon, without even giving them a chance to wake up and understand that there was a fight. Therefore, he cannot be called a Kshatriya because he acted in the most cowardly way. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that one of the qualities of a Kshatriya is that he is heroic. He is not a coward. Today, the so-called Kshatriyas become terrorists. Terrorism is nothing but cowardice. It is the most cowardly thing to do, to kill innocent people without giving them a chance to defend themselves. Ashwatthama was a terrorist. He was not acting as a Kshatriya. And because he was acting out of anger, he was acting out of uncontrolled mind and senses, he cannot be called a Brahman. But he was the son of Drona, so he has no qualification himself, but he is the son of a Brahman. Krishna says in Gita that as a boat is swept away by a strong wind in the ocean, in the same way, in the same way, even one of the senses that is uncontrolled can sweep us away into Maya. Krishna says we must guard all the senses on all sides by the mind that is situated in intelligence. We find ourselves often saying things, doing things that causes us great regret. Sometimes things that we regret through our entire lives. And it is a learning experience, no doubt. The learning experience is you cannot undo anything you have ever done. Human life is meant for responsibility. Therefore, it is very, very important that we have proper association by which we are in an atmosphere, an environment, where we will make the right decisions and we will not spoil our life. We will not have to suffer years and years of reaction for something foolish that was done without proper thinking. Because in the association of devotees, their intelligence becomes our intelligence. And that is why it is so important. If we are in an association of sinful people, worldly people, who are too much addicted to materialistic activities, then by their influence, it becomes very easy for our mind and senses to be swayed by their influences. And then we perform activities that cannot be undone. Because social pressure is very powerful. What you associate with, you become like. But in the association of good devotees, it is very protective, because there will always be that social pressure. There will always be the eye of others upon you, by which you have to not only question yourself, but you will know that others are questioning you as well. And that makes us much more cautious, much more contemplative of what is to be done and what is not to be done. It is very important. And even amongst the association of devotees, we must know the association of devotees who can help us. If we associate with the objects of the senses, it becomes very difficult to control our senses. Just as it is explained in the Shastra, Nan Magni Pramana Nava Grita Kumbha Samapuman, that when a man spends too much time alone with a woman, then naturally, like butter and fire, there is a melting process. But if that man is in the association of other men, even if there is woman present, there is, what to say, there is the social environment by which naturally you will behave very proper. And your mind and senses will very much consider what they are thinking, what should be done. So in this way, we can understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was very strict in this principle. Asat Sangha Tyaga Avaishnavachar. That one must associate with very, very sincere devotees. Otherwise, one will certainly become a victim to Maya. Because in Kali Yuga, our intelligence is very weak. In fact, Prabhupada used to call us cripple-minded. When you're crippled, you need a crutch. Sometimes materialistic people, they accuse us and they criticize that you are using your religion as a crutch. You have heard this? It is a crutch. Like there's something wrong with a crutch. But our reply to them is, you are crippled. Why not take the crutch? We need a crutch. It is a crutch. And unless we humble ourselves and admit that we are in a crippled state, we will not accept it. Then the crutch is the association of devotees. It is very easy to rise early in the morning when everyone is rising early in the morning. It is very easy to chant the vow of japa that you make to your guru every day, 16 rounds, if everyone else in the around is chanting the 16 rounds. It is very easy to hear Bhagavatam every day, as is required. When all of us, all around, everyone is coming to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And on our own, we can do it for some time. But then it becomes very difficult, because so many distractions, so many priorities. And our intelligence is taken away. And we start to think, perhaps it is not so important. Or perhaps there is some other important responsibility I have. So therefore, the association of devotees is very necessary. Srila Prabhupada very much was strong, and his Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, was very much strong, that solitary bhajan is for very, very advanced souls who have transcended the modes of material nature. Solitary bhajan is for those who have the blessings of their guru and the blessings of the Vaishnavas. It is not for a neophyte devotee to try to pretend to be Paramhamsa. In fact, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati wrote a beautiful set of prayers to his mind. Do not try to imitate Haridas Thakur sitting in a solitary place for fame and distinction or out of laziness. Trinadapi suniche natarorapi seshnana. Our spiritual advancement is determined by our humility. And part of our humility is to admit that we are not very advanced and to accept the association that is required, to accept the crutch of Vaishnav Sangam when we are in a crippled state. And we are in a crippled state. Maya is powerful, all powerful. And this material world is like a battlefield. And in this battlefield, we have all been crippled. And we have wounds from millions of lives in the past. We're severely wounded by Maya. So we need that help. To help us to use our intelligence and make the right decision at the right time and not be carried away by our environment. So Ashwatthama, he was utterly carried away by his mind and senses. And even though it's obviously logical that Yudhisthira, Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula, Sahadev, and Krishna himself were going to certainly deal with him for killing the five sons of Draupadi, because those five sons were also relatives of Krishna. They were something like nephews of Krishna, grand-nephews. Huh? So in this way we should know that Ashwatthama should have known that what will be the result if I kill them? Arjuna is going to come and get me. And I cannot defend myself against Arjuna. But like the rest of us, he was so angry that he just acted. And here's the reaction. Arjuna, with the most ferocious weapons, with Krishna driving his chariot, is singularly attacking Ashwatthama. And Ashwatthama is running away for his life. But what chance, what hope does he have? Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. If Krishna wants to kill you, there's nothing you can do to save yourself, and nothing anyone can do to help you. And if Krishna wants to protect you, no one can harm you. So Krishna charging at him with Arjuna, and Ashwatthama is running and running and running. And here we find that his horses have become very tired, and considering that there was no alternative for protection, he invoked the ultimate of all weapons, the Brahmastra. But of course, as we will see in the future verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you act against the will of Krishna, you can have the ultimate anything, but you're going to lose. You cannot escape the consequences of your own karma on the material level. You cannot escape the wrath of God if you offend him or if you offend his devotees. Even though Ashwatthama had the greatest, most powerful weapon at his disposal in all of the universe, the Brahmastra, it had no effect to protect him because he had offended the Lord's devotees. This is very important. We have read in the story of Ambarish how Duravas Muni had also offended Ambarish. And even though Duravas Muni could create unbelievable, powerful mystic forces, he created a fiery demon that could devour the whole world. But because he offended a devotee, the Sudarshan Chakra came upon him, and all he could do was run for his life. If you offend the Lord, or if you offend the Lord's devotees, there is nothing within your power, whoever you are, to protect yourself. You can be the greatest mystic. You can have unparalleled sums of wealth. You can have tremendous physical power. You can even have disposal to the Brahmastra weapon. But it cannot save you from the reaction of what you have done. Because Krishna is all-powerful. And whether he personally acts or through the representation of his material energy, it is all-powerful. And no one has a chance. So how careful and thoughtful we must be in our life. And how we must protect ourselves by being very sober, sincere, and keeping very good association, and keeping very, very good sadhana, and hearing daily the Gita and the Bhagavat. Because by hearing Gita and Bhagavat, by chanting the holy name regularly, by associating with devotees nicely, we are protected. Our intelligence is strong. Our spiritual intuition is alive. We are protected. But without seeking shelter of these forms of God's mercy, then it's just our cripple-minded selves against the all-powerful forces of Maya, material energy. Daivihesu gunamai mama maya duratiya mame vame papadyante maya metatarantita. Krishna says that this material energy consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome. Only by surrendering to me, only by taking shelter of me, can one cross beyond it. No other way. And how do we take shelter of Krishna? Through his devotees, through the Srimad Bhagavatam, through his holy name. Krishna is providing shelter. He's revealing the shelter of his lotus feet through these forms. So we must be very, very careful and very, very strict to not go astray. Do not act independent. Whoever we are. Is there any questions? Yes.
What as a, this doubt to be there in my mind that Prabhupada used to always say that if a child has been completely nurtured from the childhood itself over spiritual life, then there is no problem. When he grows up, there will be no problem about him facing Maya or having all sorts of problems. He'll be able to face all those problems because he's been nurtured from the childhood. But seeing this example of Dronacharya and Ashwatthama, and even in our movement also we see that many grahasthas, they used to be there in the movement from last 15, 20, 25 years. And when they are there, their children also, when they are from the childhood itself, they have been nurtured from this Krishna consciousness. But as and when the child has been grown up, when he is somewhat grown up, he doesn't have that inclination of Krishna consciousness. He, only by the force and only by the pressure, he just comes to a temple, or only by the pressure he is coming over here. Then sometimes we feel that what has gone wrong? With grahastha, the parents are completely Krishna conscious and has been nurtured from the childhood itself. And when on the other hand, when we see that there are some brahmacharis or those people who doesn't have any background about their parents, they have no inclination of Krishna consciousness, they have just come up and they just got the philosophy and they come into Krishna consciousness later with me. So how this is going on?
Bhakti is the expression of our individual free will toward God. In due course of time, we have to make our own choice to seek shelter of the Lord through His name and through the association of His devotees. One who is born in Krishna consciousness is very fortunate, because that person has the greatest opportunity to make the proper choice. But sometimes, due to the independent will, the nature of this material world is that we like to make experiments to see how we can best enjoy. Sometimes such people, they want to experiment by associating with other types of people. And temporarily, they go astray. But it is temporary. They may go astray for some time, but they've experienced something so much better than anything they're going to get in material life, that in due course of time, they will be frustrated by all their endeavors for sense gratification. And they will resume their Krishna conscious activities. To some people, it is a necessary phase in their spiritual developments to apparently go astray for some time before they really appreciate what they had. Because sometimes when something is given, something so rare is given so easily, we forget its value. We take it, as they say, for granted. What takes, it takes millions and millions of births and thousands of births of practicing religious principles to come to the point of Krishna consciousness. Bahunam janmanamante jnanapamam babhajyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma satulava. Is very rare. Those who have experienced material nature and have been kicked by Maya, when they finally are given the opportunity to associate with devotees and practice Krishna consciousness, they realize, they understand to some extent how rare the fortune is. But when we're just given it and we know nothing else, sometimes we just think it's just normal. Sense gratification is rare because we don't get it so much. Going to movies is rare because we never got it so much. Watching television is rare because we haven't gotten it so much. So they are in association of worldly people. They begin to think like this. They take stool to be gold, and they take gold to be stool. They chase after these things. But after a while, they realize that what's glittering is only the stool of material life. A few kicks of Maya, and they come running back. Krishna, save me. And they're fortunate because they had all that training in Krishna consciousness. When they're kicked by Maya, they know exactly what they have to do. And they know exactly where to go. So still, even though there may be a detour on the path for some time, because of all the Krishna conscious training they had in the past, they're still most fortunate. Their intelligence may be covered for some time, but it's all there. So even if we see such a person as you're speaking going astray for some time, making some experimentation with material energy, we should still know they're very fortunate, most fortunate. Most fortunate that they have the background and the realization, which may be dormant, which will bring them back in due course of time. But unfortunate, very unfortunate that they have so much, but they're wasting it for the time being, and during the time of the wasting, they're going to accumulate so much excess baggage of anartas that they're going to have to deal with, and it's going to be very difficult when they come back. Does that answer your question? Pure devotee, you have to make your own choice to want it. It can't be forced upon you. Not even your parents can force it upon you. But if they love you, they will give you every opportunity to understand it and every facility to pursue it. And they'll protect you from everything else as far as possible. That is their love. But you have to make your own choice at a certain stage of your spiritual development.
Yes. I recall three points on this. One is a Jamal story for the same thing, that he was brought up very well and then he fell down and then again came back. The other one is my own son, the smaller one, Chaitanya. So he had all the facilities. He had an elder brother and sister who were very Krishna conscious. The younger fellow was a demon.
So, really? A demon?
Yes, pure demon.
Pure demon.
He was pulling his sister's hair every day, ruining her Krishna conscious deeds, everything, neck deeds, everything. So the answer is that if we cannot do it on our own, we have to seek for higher authority. So I requested Radhanath Maharaj to stay at our home for 21 days. When Radhanath Maharaj stayed, and I told Chaitanya to be his servant, reluctantly he agreed. And then there's a change. The third example is this Aswatthama. The Aswatthama was actually given this life back, but actually he's still suffering because he's in a ghostly body. And the Shastra says that, in fact it's a question that many senior Bhagavat teachers debate whether it was right on the part of Krishna to have not killed him, or Arjuna not to have killed him, and allowed Draupadi to save Aswatthama, because he's neither here nor there now, because he's in a ghostly body. But it is said that he is eternally suffering. He says, let this be an example to others, that they should not kill innocent children. So this is a very important lesson. He's now still learning his lesson, suffering. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bo. Thank you very much.
In the early stage of the Hare Krishna movement, Prabhupada used to send his disciples abroad to preach in countries where there was no association of devotees, and maybe they were so weak also, they were not so strong devotees. So sometimes can be compromised to some extent of the association to increase the preaching service.
Generally, when Prabhupada sent devotees abroad, he sent them in groups. So they had their own little association. And because it was his order, if they took shelter of his order, they were protected. They did not do it independently. Prabhupada was very careful in this regard. Just like in London, he sent 6 devotees together. And by surrendering to the order of the spiritual master, you have the association of your spiritual master. But if we go off independently, we have no association other than our own mind. Yes?
The importance of association, but when somebody is dying, he has to die alone. So how does association help at that time?
Life is a preparation for death. The association prepares us for that last moment. In the association of devotees, it is not that we can just become careless, thoughtless, just existing in that association. But we have to endeavor very seriously, very severely in that association, to improve our Krishna consciousness. Don't think that you can just be comfortable in the association and not try. In the association of devotees, the climate is there where you can really endeavor to hear and learn Srimad Bhagavat philosophy. In that association, you endeavor intensely to hear and chant the holy names. You endeavor intensely to engage your mind and senses in devotional service. You endeavor intensely to keep your mind and senses away from material enjoyment. The association of devotees is meant to impel you and to infuse you to deeper and deeper go into your own Krishna consciousness. It's not that you just think, well, I'm in the association, so by the association I'll be all right. I don't have to try. Then you're not at all understanding what the association of devotees is. In that association, you learn how to deeply become a surrendered devotee. And then at the time of death, you'll have the association of all the devotees, you'll have the association of Krishna, you'll have the association of your spiritual master, you'll have the association of the whole disciplic succession of great sages, because throughout your life you have taken shelter of these principles, of these personalities. But at the time of death, you individually, singularly, have to be willing and you have to be able to take shelter of everything you were given by the association of devotees. And you should be sufficiently trained and conditioned to do so by that association. Within the association of devotees, never be complacent. Never think everything's all right. It's an atmosphere by which it's conducive to surrender. But you have to surrender. They cannot surrender for you. They can just make the climate perfect for you to surrender. But you have to do it. Even your spiritual master, even God cannot surrender for you. You have to do it yourself by your own free choice. But we need help, and we seek that help. Like beggars, we seek that help. And we desperately aspire to receive that help and endeavor accordingly. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.